Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
God, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in.
What's going on? Welcome in to the Del Olin Show here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George filling in for Del today, hanging out with Sean Mapes for the next 2 hours. Happy birthday to Del, because apparently today is Del's birthday, and that's why he wasn't here. And as a birthday present, I get to start at 10.05. That's pretty good record pace. Also, my eardrums got blown out because Lance Sterline's apparently going deaf. I didn't realize that was a thing, Sean. In this seat, I feel like someone should have told me that. Someone should have told me, turn down the volume because Lance listens like he's an old man, apparently.
Yeah, that's something that you have to worry about. I know when I do the bullpen show, I used to sit in that chair when I did the bullpen. And then somewhere along the way, we just flipped. It was like unsaid. But I always would plug it in, and I would just hear it in my headphones while they're, like, in my hand. And I'd be like, oh, my God. And I was like, is Joel, like, going deaf? Like,
That's also possible.
These guys are going deaf.
Yeah, they're definitely all going deaf. Lots to get into today on the show. We're going to talk about the Astros game last night, Lance McCullers. Obviously, we have a little bit of a resolution with what happened with him that I know you guys probably talked about yesterday, but we'll talk about it a little bit ourselves today with the degenerate gambler overseas. They got very upset with Lance. But what's happened since that start? We'll talk about the Rockets stuff that's going on. Big article from Kelly Eco in The Athletic. Some weird trade rumors out there regarding Ime Udoka that we'll talk about. Let's start with Lance McCullers, though. Last night, the Astros win 3-0 against the Pirates. Lance McCullers, another really good outing for him. His last three starts, 4 1/3, 8 strikeouts, 2 earned runs and 3 walks, 6 innings, 12 strikeouts, 3 earned runs and a walk. And last night, 6 innings, 7 Ks, no earned runs and 1 walk. Now, the Pittsburgh Pirates are not a good baseball team. Like, we're all well aware of that. Lance has not had a murderer's row of teams that he has gone against over his last handful of starts. It's been the Pirates, the Athletics, and the Mariners, who are kind of an up and down offensive team at this point in the season. And then he had also a 4-inning start against the Texas Rangers. And those are his last 4 starts since the 7 earned runs in which he only got 1 out against the Cincinnati Reds. But he's looking much better. And it's not that I'm a believer in Lance McCullers, but it just got me wondering this question of, when do we start to change our expectations for Lance McCullers? Just in terms of that, it's actually been better. Because going into this season, going into that first start back, it's just, how many starts do you have with him until he gets hurt? How many of the Reds games does he have in him? As Todd the Show points out on the Twitch, he has a 1.88 ERA outside of that one inning this season. Now, a lot of his stuff has been some of the problems of old, which are high pitch counts, low innings. That's always a Lance McCullers thing, even when he's fully healthy. But he got his first win yesterday, for his first win since 2022. And I don't think we're there yet in terms of raised expectations for Lance McCullers. But it just has me wondering, how much more do you want to see more from Lance? Do you want to see before you start to really want to buy back in? Because I think there is just this general hesitation that Astros fans, because of the injuries with Lance, don't ever really want to buy back in. But he's been really good. I mean, the stuff is nasty again. Like, it looks like the Lance McCullers of old. I mean, those two games where he had 20 strikeouts. I mean, think about this. 27 strikeouts in his last 3 games. That's vintage Lance McCullers. All right, this is everything you could have, honestly, in my opinion, dreamed of and more from Lance. That, A, he's made, what, 6 starts so far this season, and he's not hurt yet. That's a positive. And the strikeout numbers are ridiculous. He's been fantastic so far for the Astros.
Yeah, I think that you do start to raise your expectation. And part of it is because that's what the Astros, the current state of the Astros rotation needs. They need a Lance McCullers. They need a third starter after Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez before you get to the Space Cowboys for the rest of the rotation. So I think that for me, it's the six innings that are just as impressive as the or just as, I guess, necessary as the strikeouts and the lack of earned runs. It's the fact he isn't at this wall where it's like, oh, well, he can only go four innings before mm-hmm. you have to turn it over to the bullpen, because this bullpen is going to be highly taxed on the days that basically on the days that Brown and Valdez don't pitch.
Yes.
You can just like, okay, if we can get six innings out of whoever starting today, that'll be good. And that's what Lance McCullers is doing right now. So I think it is. It is obviously very encouraging. It's a great story. And it is a reminder that, yes, like for the most part, for the vast majority of his career, Lance McCullers has been a good pitcher. The problem is that he gets hurt. But he has been a good pitcher the entire time. It's the availability that's a question. And right now, while he's taking the ball for this team, you're getting, like you said, vintage McCullers results.
I mean, I think a lot of people thought like his contract was going to be a steal when he signed it. I mean, $17 million for a pitcher is not expensive compared to what most of these guys are hitting when they hit free agency.
If you're getting 25 starts out of a guy,
that's great.
Yeah,
if he's worth less than $1 million a start, that's good for what Lance McCullers can often do in a start. Yeah, I mean, you look at the pitch count, because that's always been what has always hurt Lance the most. Like, not the health stuff. It's that start against the Rangers where he had 83 pitches through four innings and they took him out. Or he had 91 pitches through four and a third against the Mariners and they had to take him out. But like his last two, he's gone up to 102 pitches through six innings and 96 pitches through six innings. That is what's important, is that he's having, like we saw last night, a 12-pitch inning. He's not getting as deep into counts in these last two starts as he has in the past, in 2022. You know, and this starts so far this year, and they're not treating him with kid gloves, which honestly might be the biggest surprise for me. I really, even though he was in Sugarland for quite a bit of time, I didn't think he was going to come up to the majors in his first start against the White Sox. Yes, he only went 3 2/3, but he threw 87 pitches in that game. I thought they might baby him a little bit more just to try to make sure, but the problem is with Lance McCullers is you can't really do that. You can't really baby Lance McCullers' pitch count because it can get so high so fast. But yeah, I think we're like three starts away from raised expectations.
Three starts of quality starts.
Yeah, of this, where it's like, okay. Because right now, I've been adamant, I have no consideration of Lance McCullers into the playoff roster. Has not really crossed my mind. Mainly because of health, but also just I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, let's get there.
Yeah, let's get there. But also, like, I'll believe that his success is there when I see it. And right now, we're seeing it. I need like 2 to 3 more starts where I think it even changes maybe a little bit of your calculus of what you're looking at the deadline. I mean, he's your third best pitcher.
Yeah, you get Eric Geddy back hopefully pretty soon. So.
At some point, he'll come back. That's a tough injury to miss this much time. And he's going to have to ramp back up because he only made, one start before he got
one
hurt.
One or two, yeah.
I feel bad for Spencer because baseball injuries are the absolute worst. Because it feels like they're always the weirdest injuries.
I was going to say, it was so stupid.
he got hit during batting practice. It's not like he did anything.
Broke a knuckle on his pitching hand, right? Or broke his thumb or something.
Yeah, yes, his thumb, yeah. It's not like Lance McCullers, who... I was there when he got hurt against the White Sox. I was covering the game. You know, we knew on the rain delay day he was not going to pitch.
Oh, yeah.
We knew he was in the gym lifting. And then the next day, because of the rain delay, they put Lance McCullers on the mound, even though he had just lifted the day before. And now then he was hurt for 3 years. And yes, he had some outings in between, but like he was either not good or hurt for the last 3 years. It's the same series that Jake Myers got hurt in. Just reaching over the wall, hurt his shoulder, and apparently it's also taken him 3 years to get healthy. Because at this point, Jake Myers probably is part of your all-star group on this roster.
I was not ready. I was ready for do we start raising expectations on Jake Myers?
I
didn't know we're going to all star.
I think he's hitting .293 on the season. I mean, his on base percentage is .348. His slug is .757. Jake Myers might be an all star.
Surely there has to be like four better outfielders.
He might be the sixth guy. He might not play in the game. I'm not saying he's
or he plays in the seventh inning. Yeah.
Yeah. He might. Yeah. He'll be a defensive replacement. In the top of the ninth for the American League All-Star team.
Yeah. That's so you got Jake Judge and Trout.
Yeah.
Trout's not
probably not Trout, game. Even though he's back finally. But, like, Jake Myers, he's put up a pretty good year. Like, the All-Stars right now for the Astros are Jeremy Pena.
Yep.
100%. No question about it. Josh Hader. And Hunter Brown.
And then
I don't think Fromber's too far off.
Yeah, I was going to say Fromber's probably pretty close. We'll see. I mean, we're still a month away from this thing. We'll see with Altuve if he can just have some – if he can have a good next few weeks, he can probably get his numbers in a spot to where he can sneak his way onto a team partially because it would be like his 10th All-Star game.
Yeah.
And the bar kind of gets lowered the more All-Stars you make. But, yeah, Jake Myers, All-Star. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just hadn't considered it, and so it's taken me a second to recover from that.
I know it's just, but Jake Myers, I'm still not a full believer in Jake Myers, but because he started off really hot last year, but he has changed some things. I mean, if you look at him, I mean, he is 12th in the American League right now in batting average. He is going to be – he's a little bit lower in terms of, like, on-base percentage and things like that. But, I mean, he's got a 1-3 war, so he's having a pretty good year so far. I'm not saying he's a shoe-in, but the way he's playing right now, it wouldn't shock me if we see a Jake Myers appearance in the All-Star game. Just because, like, it's in your mind, it's Jake Myers.
Yes, because I'm like, that's Jake Myers.
Yes, like he's not an all-star.
When they're doing the thing where they all stand on the baseline, they introduce them all. I'm just like, that's Jake Myers. What is he doing there?
It would be very funny, like, of all the all-stars that the Astros could have, that if you look at the fourth season, like, even I think a fair consideration that Jake could be an all-star. Like, it's laughable, honestly, because of how he did last year, like how he's done his entire career.
His career, yeah, I was gonna say last year he was like you said, got off to a hot start, so he was decent. But man, Jake Myers an all star. So are we like Isak Paredes? Could he maybe? But I think
third base
is tough just because there's like so obviously.
I mean, obviously Jose Ramirez is a shoe-in. I mean, he's still probably the most,
and they probably only bring like two more, right?
Yeah, he's probably the most underrated third baseman in baseball, or player in baseball, I think, still. Jose Ramirez, like, maybe not underrated, but not... This is where
under-celebrated?
Baseball, they fail. This is where baseball fails. Yeah. Jose Ramirez should be a superstar. In any other sport, he is a superstar-level player. If he is their equivalent of the NBA player, NFL player, he is a star player. But they don't push him.
Yeah.
They don't push anyone. And the way that they should. No, I think
they push Ohtani and Judge.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean,
they push those two guys.
They're putting the ratings out there yesterday about what's happening in Japan right now and just how high Major League Baseball ratings are in Japan again and how they've increased again this year. Yeah, it's a lot of Ohtani, if not all Ohtani at this point. But Isak Paredes is probably another one that will be in consideration. And if you know, I can't remember how the fan vote works in baseball right now, but Jose Altuve will get a large fan vote as well. He might take Jake Myers' outfield spot.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I was mentally putting him at second base because that's where he's played his entire career. And that's normally a pretty easy position to find yourself in an all-star game for. But,
yeah.
He's in the outfield.
Well, we'll see.
Jake Myers might take his spot.
Yeah. Jose Altuve, not an all-star this year. Why? Jake Myers. That's why.
I'd be so upset.
Really?
I know, like, the actual stats, whatever. Come on, guys. This is the All-Star game we're talking about.
This is where I think it...
We used to watch gods play in this game. Now Jake Myers is out there.
Yeah. It would be very funny to see Jake Myers. I mean, it'd be a great story, honestly, for the Astros. And it's part of the reason why the Astros are now in sole possession of first place by half game. But Seattle is 4-6 in their last 10. The Astros are playing much better as of late. They're getting good pitching from Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez and Lance McCullers, and the other guys are piecing it together. Now, the lineup, I think, still leaves a lot to be desired. You look at their last three wins, they have a combined total of 6 runs in those wins against the Pirates last night and the Rays the 2 games before that. And Paul Skenes was nasty last night.
Oh, yeah.
He's so sick.
We should talk about that. Paul Skenes, awesome. Awesome pitcher.
At 11:30, I'm ready to put him on, even though I know the Pirates will trade him at some point. I'm ready to add him to the most wasted athletes list. I've got a list of like 6 of the most wasted athletes by these incompetent franchises across sports.
Yeah.
I'm already willing to put Paul Skenes on that list. He goes out there and has elite level performances regularly. I mean, this is at least his second 8-inning loss on the season.
Yeah. I mean, what isn't his record like 3-6 or something? 4-6.
Yeah.
4-6 on the year, which luckily we live in 2025. Okay. 4-6 record, 2.05 ERA.
Yes.
But this is like DeGrom level stuff. Like those, what, 3 years where DeGrom couldn't get a win?
Yes. I mean, look, last night, Paul Skenes, 8 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts. 3 starts ago on May 18th. Against the Philadelphia Phillies. 8 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts. He got the loss. They lost 1-0 to the Phillies in that game. If he gives up a single run, he loses. I feel bad for Paul Skenes. And it makes me hate baseball also. The fact that you have this superstar level player that honestly was kind of what I would say was can't miss television for me last night. Like, he is a guy that if he's playing a team that I follow or root for, I want to see him on the mound. I wanted to see what the Astros did. And they did just enough. They got 1 earned run.
I was Christian Walker. Say, they didn't do very much, but it was enough.
It was enough. Christian Walker got his home run. Isak, you know, another big hit as well. His home run in the top of the ninth to give him a little bit of cushion. And Lance McCullers was dealing last night for the Astros. So I feel bad for Paul Skenes. That was one of my biggest takeaways.
Yeah.
Besides the fact of, is Lance McCullers, are we ready to talk about Lance McCullers being back? Which we're not just yet.
No, and I think part of it is, now that we talk about it, part of it is because, like, he did against the Pirates. He did against a team who win their best starter and a generational starting pitcher, start of his career. If he gives up 2 runs, you lose. It's like, oh, well, that kind of speaks to the state of the lineup. Maybe we put a little bit less weight into this Lance McCullers start. But I think that it's still fair to be impressed by McCullers, but also let's see it a couple more times. You do need a few starts to wash away the stink of a 7-run first inning or however many
for
give up.
Sure.
You need a while.
I mean, we see guys like their seasons don't recover from those kind of things. We see guys get demoted out of high leverage situations.
Yeah. Or just like in general, like
I mean, there's a former Astro that he gave up. Ryan Pressly gave up 8 earned runs in 1 inning, and he's lost his job. He's given up 0 earned runs in every outing around that, before and after, basically. They're just like, this guy stinks.
Yeah. Because I mean, his ERA is probably still 5.5.
Yeah. Like, it's a lot harder to bring that ERA down versus Lance. I think the other thing for Lance is, and it's not Lance's fault, because you play who's in front of you, but I you know, even his next start against Cleveland projected on Sunday against Jose Ramirez, I want to see like the rise in competition a little bit.
Yeah,
like
I think that's a good next step up.
Yeah, like let's see what it looks like against Cleveland.
Then they got the White Sox, or the Astros got the White Sox coming to town. Unlucky for Lance McCullers, he doesn't get to play them.
Yeah, well, we'll see what the White Sox do in that series. They are maneuvering their starting pitching. They did the funniest thing I've seen, the most disrespectful thing I've seen this season. The Tigers have a series against both Chicago teams coming up. They moved Tarik Skubal up a day
to pitch against the Cubs
instead of the White Sox because they know it's a waste. That is one of the most disrespectful things.
It's a division rival.
And they're like, nah, these bums. Good. But yeah, I mean, I was supposed to see Lance face a little bit better competition. Like, he'll get Cleveland, probably get the Athletics again, or maybe the Twins. Probably the Twins, and then he'll get maybe Philly or the Cubs. And, like, I want to see how he does in the next three starts. Just against better competition. Like, that's all I want to see from Lance McCullers. All right, yesterday, Kelly Eco on The Athletic put out a big story about all the rumors and goings-on with the Houston Rockets right now, including Giannis, where it stands with that. And plus, we got this rumor today that the New York Knicks, who fired Tom Thibodeau, are interested in trading for Ime Udoka. We'll get into that next year on the Del Olea Show. Joe and Sean here with you today on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olea.
Joe George filling in for Del here on this Wednesday. Del will return tomorrow, hanging out with Sean Mapes until 12 o'clock. All right, let's start with this Ime Udoka thing. Mark Stein put out a list of candidates that the New York Knicks are expected to be interested in after firing Tom Thibodeau, who did things for the New York Knicks that haven't been done since the 90s, and they fired him. He wears thin on people. I've lived it. But all he does is win basketball games as a head coach in the NBA. But apparently they just – James Dolan or the agent that's now a GM, Leon Rose, apparently was just done with Tibbs. But Mark Stein reported that Johnny Bryant from the Cavs, Jay Wright, the former Villanova head coach, are guys who the Knicks are interested in. But also – that the Knicks are apparently interested in Dallas's Jason Kidd and Houston's Ime Udoka. I don't even know what that phone call would be like if James Dolan called Tillman Fertitta and was like, I want Ime. Besides the, I'm assuming it will be the fastest hangup of all time. I don't even know what the Knicks would have to give me if I'm the Rockets to trade Ime. Like, I don't want picks, and I'm not getting Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
So, and like, what do I want?
And the Knicks don't really have...
I don't want Bridges.
They don't really have picks either because of Mikal Bridges and Karl Towns.
Don't want him either.
Making those trades. So, yeah, typically that's how it kind of works, that you get some picks for a coach, but... That doesn't seem to – I just don't really know how this would happen. I guess theoretically you could do cash considerations and essentially buy him out just and do it like that, like how college football and college basketball coaching hires work, where you literally just pay the buyout of the coach's contract to the old school. I still have a hard time – I have a hard time seeing it happen for either Kidd or Udoka. I guess Kidd – it's slightly more likely just in the Nico Harrison wild card aspect of, like, I don't know what those guys are doing. But I assume they essentially picked what Harrison and Kidd want to do versus what Luka Doncic wanted to do, and they did that 4 months ago.
I still think there's a little of the Jason Kidd stuff that I didn't really believe him in the press conference that he did after the Luka trade. So we're like, I wonder if Jason Kidd sees this and he's like, like, do I want to coach Cooper Flagg? That sounds great, but I have to work for this idiot. Or do I want to go to the Knicks and work for that? Like, which idiot do you want?
Yeah.
Do you want Dolan? Or do you want Nico?
I think I'd
go with Nico?
I think I'd go Nico because of Cooper Flagg.
I mean, he made trades that
went currently good.
Like, he made trades that got them to the finals 2 years ago now, or a year ago now. And he agreed to trade Luka Doncic with the backdoor deal that got him Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Like, he rigged the NBA to get Cooper. You got Cooper. Like, I wouldn't leave if I was Jason Kidd.
No. This seems like...
This is good clickbait.
Well, it also seems like it's good, like... Every team obviously has the, like, pie-in-the-sky option that has no chance in happening. You know, like, every team has the... Well, we would love to have this guy. You know, the Rockets employ someone who is looking at Cooper Flagg film right now, just in case. You know, like, that's just how it works. It's like, well, we know we won't get Cooper Flagg, but we have to at least like look at him just in case something crazy happens and he falls in our lap.
Yeah.
It's that with coaching where it's like, I mean, we'd love to give so-and-so a shot, you know? We would love to give – it's the Longhorns like going, Nick Saban, would you like to be the next head coach? Would you like to leave Alabama to be the next head coach of the Texas Longhorns? Like, that just happens in other sports. You don't really hear about it so much in basketball because there is so much less poaching of sitting head coaches.
Yeah, it does not happen.
Or just in professional sports in general.
That yeah, I mean, that's just like, doesn't happen. Belichick, Gruden. I couldn't even tell you any other situation that just happened.
Sean Payton, technically, right? Although yeah, he had Payton a year
was,
off.
Yeah, he was traded.
Yeah, but he did a year off. But the Saints still had him under contract.
I know. I mean, it wasn't – because even most of the time it's free agency. Like, I apologize to do this to the people that hate when I do it. But, like, when Craig Counsell signed his, you know, $15 million year deal with the Cubs, like, he was a free agent.
Yeah.
He just chose not to renegotiate with Milwaukee. Did not get fired.
Yeah, his contract expired and just
like
left.
He just left.
Yeah.
Yeah, the poaching doesn't happen in the NBA. It really only is in the NFL where we've seen trades that have happened.
And even then, we thought of three examples over 30 years.
Yes.
And one of them only technically counts because they still had his rights as a coach because he essentially resigned with years left on his contract.
Yeah.
With Sean Payton. So, yeah, I don't put a ton – or – I mean, I'm sure like the reporting's correct. I'm sure. I'm sure the Knicks would love to have Ime Udoka, but I'm not wasting any sleep on it. You know, this isn't keeping me up at night.
No, this was an acknowledged story and move on. Kelly Eco put out a big article in The Athletic talking about a bunch of moves for the Rockets. If Steven Adams leaves, Rockets could reignite their interest in Brook Lopez. Gross.
Really? Gross.
I don't want it.
Wow.
He's 37. I feel like you've already kind of struck gold a little bit with an aging player and it working out for you.
With Adams.
But if you do look at some of the analytics and numbers for Brook Lopez, like, it looks like he's slowing down quite a bit. I just don't know if, because of how much they needed Adams. Like, if you're going to need Brook Lopez to be valuable in the double big lineup, it might be your only option to do that. He does bring more outside shooting. I mean, it's crazy what his career has done.
Yeah.
To go from...
There's like a line where you can just see like, oh, I shoot threes now.
He was like, he only shot inside and all of a sudden he just like started ripping threes. And my guess is he could always do it, but they just told him not to.
Yeah. He was like the like poster child for like, this is what a old school center low post threat looks like. And then I think he went to the Lakers in like 2016 and it was a pretty unserious Lakers team. And they're like, hey, just shoot three, see how it works. And he did it. And he was really awesome. And it kind of reinvigorated his career. He went to the Bucks and won a championship. I would be interested in it only as the backup plan for Steven Adams leaving, where you do need to replace that. And yes, the double big lineup is important for the Rockets, but we're still talking about like 20 minutes a game during the regular season for Brook Lopez, where that is different than the Milwaukee Bucks asking him to be the starting center for a team that thinks they can contend in the Eastern Conference. Like, you're just asking a lot less of him. And you mentioned the Rockets kind of got, or you feel like the Rockets kind of got lucky with the, with Adams, I guess, being rejuvenated here in Houston. I do wonder how much of that is specific to Adams and how much is that something that the Rockets training staff can, like, manage with a older player where not only did Steven Adams, like, stay healthy or get healthy and then stay healthy this season, he looked more athletic. He looked like...
He looked like the old...
He turned
like,
back the clock maybe 5 years. Like, he was contesting shots. He had a bunch of blocks in that Warriors series where you go, whoa, I didn't think that he was still that kind of rim protector. I do wonder if they can do that even a little bit to where, not that Brook Lopez is going to look like he did when he was, you know, at Stanford or anything, but that he can at least look a little bit better athletically than he has in Milwaukee.
Good pull. I would have never guessed he went to Stanford, honestly.
Yeah, him and his brother.
Yeah, that's right. Brooke Lopez did play. He's played in 237 games in the last three seasons.
Whew.
So that's pretty good in terms of durability. Okay. From the Twitch, from Lone Ranger, one trade we missed. I forgot Doc Rivers was traded.
To the
Clippers.
Yeah,
I forgot about
Good call.
First round pick. It was a unprotected lottery pick.
Really?
It was a 2015 unprotected lottery pick. What did the Boston Celtics take with that pick? We'll look it up during the break.
2015?
Yeah. That would have been way before Tatum and those guys. But yeah,
Terry Rozier.
So Brook Lopez is an option if Steven Adams leaves. But it does sound like the Rockets are interested in bringing Steven Adams back, which, I mean, I'm...
Yeah, should be the headline.
That's the top.
Yeah, obviously, and we're obviously both way pro that.
Yes.
I'm just more pro the backup plan being Brook Lopez.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it.
You don't want to think about the world without Steven
Adams. I don't want to keep investing in, like, 37-year-olds, and then you're stuck with a bag of a player that's expensive that you've probably had to trade something for. I would imagine to make it work with Boston, who's trying to unload salary at this point. Like, not Boston. Is Brook with Milwaukee?
Brook Lopez is a free agent.
Is he a free agent?
Yeah. You'd just
like
be paying.
He was a free agent last year. I guess that was. Like
no, it was. He was a free agent the same year that Van Vliet Brooks were.
They do seem to be obsessed with him.
Yeah. They're kind of circling the block with them.
Obsessed with him. The other guy I'm looking at, and this is a big health thing. But remember when we were doing the show together, the three of us with Paul. Remember when Ime mouthed to Robert Williams after a Trailblazers game, "We're coming to get you, stay healthy." That's one guy I'm kind of also keeping my eye on, but he doesn't play.
Yeah, like, no, that's the ultimate. Like, we believe in our medical staff.
20 games. He played 20 games.
No,
last
you
year.
Can't. I mean.
You can get him with Brook Lopez.
I was going to say, if he finds himself in a place of his career, maybe after this contract that he's on is over, where he is going to have to be a backup center because of his availability, and that he could maybe be like Jock Landale of
great,
where he can not play a lot of games, but also if, you know, Shingun's in foul trouble, you can throw him out there and he's good. He just can only do it for 20 games a year.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll continue looking through this article from Kelly Eco talking about Rockets rumors and a trade suggestion that I thought was interesting and involving Jalen Green and Kevin Durant. We'll get to that next year. Joe filling in for Dell with Sean here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dell Olalea.
Joe and for Dell here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Got ESPN on here on the television in the studio. Oklahoma City Thunder, a -700 series favorite. Oof, boy. I think if I was going to bet on this series, I would probably like go like, I think it's like Oklahoma City is like +280 to win in five games. Like, I think that's the bet I would place. Or maybe like +360 to sweep.
Yeah.
I think that's the only wager is like
at
you
the
have
risk.
To,
yeah. At
you
the,
have to bet on the you have to bet on the Pacers to win or the Thunder to win in five games or less.
I was gonna say at the risk of disrespecting the Indiana Pacers,
soft boys.
The more that I like look at this and think about this, like I don't think they have a shot. I don't think they have an actual shot at winning the series? No. You can walk me down like the, hey, you know, one of the home games, they get a great shooting night, they get great bench effort, and like they can steal a game. Maybe, you know, Rick Carlisle's just got a trick up his sleeve to steal another game. It's like I can see how you can get to six games of the series. I just have a hard time seeing the Pacers win this thing. I, like you, I think I would do like Thunder in four or five.
Yeah, I don't think
I'd do five out of respect.
Yeah, yes.
I don't know, guys.
I don't think that there's anything. I mean, it's. I hope it's a fun series.
This is a lot. The Thunder team is a lot different than a Knicks team who seem allergic to ever being in a full sprint. It's different than a hobbled Cavs team, and it's different than Giannis and the corpse of the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, it's a little bit different.
If the Thunder win, if the Pacers win the NBA championship, I think Giannis will be an Oklahoma City Thunder player. they have to. Like, if the Thunder don't win the championship this year, they have to do something radical. I mean, they've got all these draft picks coming up.
I think
all these young players. Like, if you don't win a championship this year, you have to trade for Giannis.
I think if they had lost the Nuggets series, yes. I think now they've gone, you know, farther than they've ever gone since 2012. That I think now that they can be like, you know what, we learned some lessons. We're ready to grow up. Maybe we stop doing the group interviews after games.
Yeah.
And throw towels on people's heads. Like, you know what, we're going to take this thing seriously. But I ultimately think they win this pretty easily.
I think so too. And I think it's not a bad thing for the NBA because I think you need kind of an up and coming team to help.
Yeah.
Ignite excitement.
You need a new champ or a new young team.
Yeah, you kind of need a dynasty. It's better when dynasties are trying to be brought down. Like, that's why I don't think the Dodgers winning the World Series last year is bad for baseball. I think it's great for baseball because you need a public enemy or a really good young story before they turn into the enemy. The Warriors were a fantastic story.
Yeah.
They were the darling of the NBA until they got Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they had 2 years of being the, like, kind of baby face, the first breakout year. And then the 73-9 year where they lose in the finals. And then, they signed Kevin Durant. And everyone's like, bleep this.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Kevin Durant and Giannis.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant trade proposal I saw on social media. I know the Killer Bees talked about this yesterday. Proposal was because they know they believe the Rockets are out on Jalen Green and they won't play the number 10 pick. Those two assets straight up for KD. Nothing else. I guess salary, if you have to make.
Yeah,
it
you would have to.
But like, but get the, up to but the precipice of the meat of the deal is just Jalen Green and the 10th pick.
Yeah, no one's saying no. If it's like, well, it has to be Landale and Tate to make the money work.
Whatever.
Like, yeah, no one's sweating that. I have a question about the premise, and I know it's not your premise. Are we sure that the Rockets are out on Jalen Green? Because the last public comment that Raphael Stone made was pushing back against a very fair Jackson Gatlin question about on-off data. And him basically saying, I know all the data says that this team is better in any lineup construction without Jalen Green on the court, but we have our own data that says he's good. I'm not saying he won't get traded, but I'm not ready to walk down the like path of they're 100% out on him.
No,
I think we're out on him as a star, at least.
The cynicism, in me says that is to keep his trade value.
That's
because you're not going to publicly trash him.
Yeah, be like, yeah, you're right, Jackson. This guy stinks.
But like, also, anyone that wants to win a championship ever, like, watch the Rockets play in the playoffs and watch Ime put Jalen on the bench.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think they're out on Jalen Green, but I think there are trades that they will make that involve Jalen, and I would include Kevin Durant and the 10th pick for that.
Yeah.
If they believe. Because I really don't – I don't believe the Kevin Durant that they're not that interested stuff that we got earlier this year or this offseason, like a month ago. I just don't believe it. Like, I know he doesn't play defense. I know that's a problem. I know he's older. He's going to have to have rest days, all those things. But you need a score. Like there's you need someone to come in and score and be able to have the ball at the end of the game, and the Rockets do not have that. I'm not quite sure Giannis answers those questions with his age. I mean, he can't shoot. He's a great player, but all he does is attack downhill. I'm not totally sure the fit with him and a men. Like, I just don't know if he solves your problems. To win a champion.
I was going to say, I think he solves problems, but then there's also new ones that come up and new ones that I'd be okay with because it's like just
it's
get,
Giannis.
Get Giannis on your team and like now your job is to figure it out. But I think that with Durant, I think the real question I have is about the next contract or the extension that you have to sign Durant to when you make the trade for him. And I wonder if that's what the if that's what scares the Rockets a little bit more. But we saw, I think, yeah, it was in this Kelly Eco piece where the Suns are calling the Rockets constantly. It's basically what he said.
Yeah.
He says that the Suns consistently initiate phone calls with the Rockets, and I take it in the context of a Kevin Durant trade because it doesn't look like a Booker trade is happening.
No, so, it sounds like he's fine. I wonder if you can – I think the Rockets would like to trade for Kevin Durant without trading Jalen Green.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think it's impossible.
And again, also in this Eco piece, that the price is dropping on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I think he said every day the could price
we get
goes
down, – could we get down to the 10th pick in Cam Whitmore? Like, because Kelly Eco also says that they expect Reed Shepard to have a much bigger role on this team. I push back. I don't think the defense is going to be there for Ime to play him in crunch time.
I think he can be like a six man because yeah. they're probably bringing back Van Vliet, so yeah, he's not going to be the starting point guard. So I think it's more of a bench role. Maybe, you know, if they do trade Jalen Green, maybe some of the Jalen Green, not running point guard, but basically running the offense when Şengün and Fred VanVleet are out. Maybe those minutes turn into Reed Shepard minutes. But
the
Aaron
Holiday minutes?
Yeah, the Holiday minutes. Yeah. Yeah. That I think that he can become like a six-man type on next year's team. And that would be an increase in his role. Like
be a huge increase.
Yeah. Normally when we think about like, he's going to have an increased role, we think, oh, he's going to be a starter, or oh, he's
going to
be...
No, this one's he's going to play.
Yeah, it's like, no, we plan on actually playing this guy.
All right, we'll take a break. When we get back, you know what? I'm filling in for Dell, so let's talk some college football. I have a question. I don't get why people are so upset about something that seems to be coming to college football. We'll do that next year. Joe George and Fidel here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Problem with the system.
Oh no! Should we just keep talking until we see?
Yes,
we can get
talk
it fixed?
Until I'll just interrupt us with the break.
What a bummer! The AC is not working in the building. It's working on our side.
Yeah,
thankfully. I feel bad for our sales staff. I walked in today and it was cooking over there, and my sources say that it could be down for a month, which is a bad look. It's a bad time.
Yeah,
it is the worst time of the year. For your AC.
Literally cannot think of a worse. Today. Much like this, me trying to do one thing and then hit start next has essentially ended this computer. Not really.
We can just talk till 11:12
okay.
And play if we need to.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have to restart this
Let's
computer.
See if I can remember this. KBME. Nope. That's the wrong station.
No.
KFNC, ESPN 97.5, Mount Bellevue, Houston. There's your legal ID. Boom, got it. I hope Todd's not listening. He's going to get very mad at me. He's going to get very mad.
Should
at me.
I dump that? And
Nope. It's too late now. We missed the 10 seconds. Okay, well, the computer's broken, so we're just going to keep talking here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. I need someone to explain to me why people are upset about this 5 plus 11 for the 16-team college football playoff. So, 5 bids automatically to the 5 highest-rated conference champions. As we have right now, the new rule goes into place this year that we do not have auto buys like we saw for Boise State and Arizona State this last year. So instead, they're going to go to 16 teams in 2 years, it sounds like. I know there's 14 teams still out there, but it sounds like 16 is going to be locked in. And at first, the rumors have been there's really two things. There's this 5 plus 11. So the 5 conference champions and then the next 11 highest seeds all make the college football playoff, no matter conference, independent, whatever. And then there's this version where the Big Ten and the SEC are both trying to get like 4 auto bids for their conference. So 4 bids for the Big Ten, 4 bids for the four bids for the SEC.
Did that go over there?
Yes, it did. Okay. Or at least into my headphones. 2 bids. So like the ACC, 2 bids maybe to the Big 12, and then everything else that just happens after. I'll be honest, I hate that. I hate that version of what they're proposing. Not for the SEC, but I don't know if this is going to be a bad take that the Killer Bees are going to try to put me on Bad Take Boulevard for or not. I don't think the Big Ten deserves four auto bids. Even though they've won the last two national championships, even though they've expanded their conference and had teams like Oregon and USC and Washington, who are all either have been very good or are good currently, I don't think the Big Ten is a four-bid conference automatically. And I don't think the Big 12 and the ACC are deserving of the second bid. I don't. And sorry to the Cougs fans out there. I don't think that the number two team in the Big 12 deserves to be automatically in the college football playoff when there's a very good chance they're not ranked in the top 16. Same thing with the ACC. So I hate this idea of giving two to four auto bids per conferences. I hate it. I think the 5+11 model, honestly, is perfect.
I mean, it's the model that they have already, just adding teams to it.
And frankly, I like 14 teams. I like the NFL playoffs, the way that they're formatted. And I do think if you just put the winner of the Big Ten and the winner of the SEC becoming basically the one seed of the AFC and the NFC and getting a bye, I'd be fine with that. Like, I think 14 is a good number.
Yeah.
And you reward the top two conferences, or you call it the top two highest conference champions. One will be the SEC, one will always be the Big Ten. Always. And you give them the bids. Like that you give them the buys. That to me is, I like the 14 team model with that better than the 16 team model, but I know we're going to 16.
Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely going to 16 just because, like, you get. It is funny, though. It is two extra games that we're talking about. Like, we're not talking about, like, a giant amount, like, the jump from 4 to 12 in the amount of games that you can then sell to TV partners and they can sell to sell ads for. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about in last year's playoff, like, Oregon and Georgia would have had to play one game. they would have had to play it against, like, would have been Clemson and Arizona State. Yeah, it would have been Clemson and Arizona State, in all likelihood, that they would have had to play these games against, and you would have gotten in, two extra teams, so it would have been Alabama and Miami. That's, like, the trade that you're making.
Which, like, it's not bad. I mean,
that's, like, fine, but doesn't... I guess it doesn't, like, change... It doesn't change the world of, like, oh my god, we got one extra game of, you know, who would have been? It's hard to do it because they, like, reseed and luck, or not reseed, but they don't, it's not straight seeding, so it's hard to, like, mentally reorder it. But it would have been like Boise State versus Miami would have been one of the games, because they're a lower rated conference champion versus the first team left out, essentially.
I also don't understand why we have to wait to do that. I know it's, I guess it's too late.
It's just contracts.
Can we just start it this year? It's all going to be under ESPN. If they wanted it so bad, like, why didn't they just implement this?
Because
they can't agree to it.
Because, but we've had to negotiate this thing for 18 months.
But
we've
they
had
can.
Constant
they
updates.
Can. Like, but they could. Like, if they had a time, they know they want to start in the 26-27 season.
Yes.
So that's why I feel like there's not a high pressure to get this done. Now, the stuff
they'll finalize it by this time next year.
If not, probably within the next, like, 2 months. Like,
yeah.
We'll probably know, honestly, before the college football season, what next year's playoff
did for the four team. We knew, like, oh, it'll be 12, and this is how it'll work.
Yeah. Like they will figure it out.
We've just constantly been tinkering with the college football playoff, which, by the way, I don't think it matters that much. As far as, like, who actually wins the championship, like, it doesn't have, like, some giant effect on the champions. I would say is that, you know, in the last 4 years, or no, not the last 4 years, in 4 years, over the course of 4 years, by the time we get to 16, we would have four different playoff formats.
Yeah, I don't
like that's
love
just
that.
Like insane.
Yeah,
and again, just to end up with Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, like, winning most of these things.
It is funny because you can just looking at the last 3 years, there is this, like, world in which you can talk yourself into the 16 seed beating the one seed. I think when you look at it on paper, like if you just follow the end of the year rankings before like the week 15 or 16 rankings. So like this year it would have been Clemson versus
Oregon
in the first round. You could sell me on that. Like you could sell me on the last 2 years. And then the year before that would have been the 9-3 Notre Dame team versus Michigan. Like I would pick Michigan in that game, but you could sell me on the idea. Now in 2022, it would have been Georgia versus Tulane. Don't need that game.
Yeah.
The problem.
Yeah.
I don't need that game.
Yeah.
Cause they're not going to move you into the top five. Like you're just, your conference is going to be in. And if you are the last team in, if you're the 16th seed, you're the 16th seed.
Yeah. Tulane would have been in and they would have been the 16th seed.
Yeah.
Like, because they won the ACC or AAC. And they were 12th. The same thing with Clemson. Clemson was like actually ranked 15th and they made the 12-team playoff because they won the conference. So I think that for the most part, yeah, you like this year was like the rarity where you get a national brand in a power-ish conference that was the last team in. I think for the most part, it would be the Boise State, Tulane, whoever wins the American or Sun Belt, and a Big 12 or ACC conference winner.
Yeah.
Like that will probably be.
And they're gonna do stuff that's shady. Like if you have a Tulane with one loss, but is winning the AAC, or let's say Lenora Sellers and South Carolina, a three-loss SEC team, and Georgia's the one seed, that committee is not putting South Carolina at 16.
Yeah.
They're probably putting South Carolina at 14 and making the two worst teams, even though the records don't say it, in the 15 and 16 seed. Like, they're going to maneuver this thing. My only request is once they get to 16, can we stop? Can we take a break from changing it for a little bit? Like, because you don't really know. Like, we have a really, like, with the 14 playoff, we do have an idea of, like, what it looked like. Because it was a handful of years.
Yeah, it was a decade.
Like, Arizona State played a great game against Texas. There's no saying that next year, if they would have stuck with the exact same format, that the winner of the Big 12, like BYU, even though they were lower ranked than, you know, let's say Texas again for this argument, they wouldn't put up a great game that was honestly one of the better games of the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they needed to change after 1 year. Like for to know if something is going to work, you have to give it time. And they're not giving anything time. So I hope when they go to the 16-team format, at least give it, like, 2 years.
Like, yeah, because this
like 2 years.
Even the 12-team, we changed, not even the expansion, but we changed, like, well, actually, let's just do straight seating because the Boise State and Arizona State getting a bye was dumb, which I'm like, not that dumb. Like, it's like confusing, and that's my main reason against the four automatic bids for the ACC or for the SEC and Big 12 or Big 10, and then the two for the Big 12 and ACC, and then the one for it's like this is just too confusing. Like, you're just asking like the not even like the common fan, just like people that aren't college football diehards to, like, wrap their head around how the hell you come up with who's going to win this, who's going to be in the playoff. Like, it's just so hard to even understand that's why, like, 5 plus 11, I'm just like, yeah, sure, whatever.
It's fine.
Like, because I know the pushback is just going to be that so many of the at-large bids are just going to be SEC and Big Ten teams, to which I say, the alternative is that there's four every single year and then two at larges that would probably go to an SEC or Big Ten teams and then one that would go to Notre Dame. Like, that is like that's the other option, is that we get eight no matter what every single year, and it's just way more confusing. Like, let's just do this to where, again, if you win your conference,
You're in.
And that's, like, so much easier to wrap your head
just
around.
Just like college basketball.
Yes. Other than, you know, well, if you're the fifth-place team, but then you win a play-in game against the third-place team, it's like, guys, This is way too. You're asking way too much for your consumers to care that a Ole Miss team that lost to Kentucky and Florida is like still alive for the national championship.
The only argument for adding the auto bids is I do think you're more likely to get this Big Ten SEC partnership for like week one of the season, where they will shuffle the deck every year, and Oregon might play Georgia, and Michigan might play Texas. And I know a lot, but like it'll be forced in. They'll go every. There will be one Big Ten versus SEC game to start the season, just like we would see like in these college basketball tournaments.
Yeah.
But if you do the top four SEC teams, that doesn't affect your SEC standings, so they're more likely to add better non-conference games. That's the only argument, is if they did that. And honestly, like I would, if they want to go down this path of auto, like four bids a conference, my counter would be then this is what the first 3 weeks of the season are. Is it's time to bring in a schedule maker, and the first start of the season, if you're an SEC team, is you're going to play a Big Ten team, a Big 12 team, and an ACC team. That is the first 3 weeks of the season, and then you start your conference play. That to me is the only way I would be like okay with four automatic SEC teams, because then those three games, they don't really matter. They help you get auto bids, but they don't stop you from being a top four SEC team.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I'm just so against that the format.
Oh, me too.
Just because, like you said, like I'm sorry, Big 12. I'm sorry, ACC. But it's like very hard to see a world where you get in two teams every year. Like this year's Big 12 was like whoever won it was going to be the one who made it.
No, if
like,
you look at the standings.
No world where the team who lost the Big 12 championship game was also going to make the title. So having a format that you're automatically in if you're in the Big, like that already, I'm like, what are we doing letting in like the 20th best team in the country? Also, it's if you're the Big 12, you're like signing into documents that we are half the league that the Big Ten and SEC is. Like we are worth less of a team. We are a league that is worth less than the SEC. How do we prove it? By the postseason agreement that we have.
Honestly, like the best way to do it would be just to merge the Big 12 and the ACC, and then say that conference gets four teams. Like that conference gets four teams, the SEC gets four teams, and the Big Ten gets four. But even if you look at last year's college football playoff, if you had two auto bids for the Big 12, South Carolina, who going into the college football playoff was ranked the 15th team in the country, they would have been left out of the college football playoff last year with two Big 12 auto bids because BYU was ranked 17th, and they would have automatically qualified. And Clemson would have automatically qualified at being 16th. Like an SEC team is still getting left out because of this. That's why it's stupid. Just take the top champs. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Can I go to break now, Sean?
Yes, you can.
All right. He is Sean Mapes. I'm Joe George filling in for Dell. We will keep talking about what's going on with your Houston Astros. I have some injury thoughts on what's going on with Yordan and CJ, and plus a take I heard that left me shocked. We'll get into that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.